Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Sunday evening. Hallelujah. Facebook Live. Welcome to Sunday nights. I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll get started. Father, I thank and praise you for those that will watch or hear this, or even watch or hear it in the future. I thank and praise you. And I ask you, sir, to give me the words that you would say to your children. Speak to them, Father, the things that they need and the things that will help them see clearly and have clear direction and the blessing of the heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So God's been impressing me to talk a little bit about the role that our emotions have in our life. You know, emotions are actually a gift from God. And if you're like I used to really struggle with being ruled by my emotions. And when circumstances came, as circumstances always do, you know, circumstances come to everyone, good ones, bad ones. You know, I wish that wasn't true, but it is. It is true. We live in a fallen world and stuff happens. And sometimes, if we don't know how to deal with our emotional response to that, that can start to rule us, or our emotions start to rule us. And when I was young, that's how I was. My emotions were ruling my life. And if you asked me how I was one day, not so good. If you asked me how I was the next day, pretty good. And it was based on the circumstances of the day. So my emotions were up and down and up and down. And one of the things that I realized is that if I'm going to be a true servant of God, I need to be ruled by Him and not by my emotions. But I want to make something clear. Emotions actually are a gift from God. They're not a bad thing, but emotions were made to serve you. This is going to sound like an odd parallel, but a lot of things in life were meant to serve us as we serve the Lord. So, for example, I'll just use money. Money is a fine servant, but it's a terrible master. If money owns you, either riches or poverty can own you. Greed can own you. That's a terrible master. No man can love two masters, right? But if you're a servant of God and you know how to steward it, God will allow you to steward money for Him as a tool that is a servant of God and not an evil thing. But we have to be really careful how we steward it and how we keep our heart. Well, the same thing is true of really almost everything God gives us to steward. If you think about the gifts of the Spirit, each of us has different gifts. All of us, I think, house the Holy Spirit. If we're born again and filled with the Spirit, we also house some of His gifts because He's in us. And how we steward that. I've seen people have a gifting and steward it very poorly and do actual damage to the body instead of good. The gifts were intended to help people, always, always help people. The gifts were given to help the lost find Jesus and help the saved find their way. a gift from the Holy Spirit helps people come close to God. It's to help people be reconciled to God in one form or another. So, but I've seen people steward that or almost make a God out of it, almost idolize it. And so in a like manner, I've seen that we can idolize our emotions. And the problem with that is when your emotions run you, they run your life, they run your ups and downs and even your decisions, that can actually be a form of an idol. I've actually seen more than one time a person can be bowing down, almost like bowing down before a bonfire, but it's their emotions. They're bowing down before these emotions as though they are God. And if their emotions tell them to do something, they're so bound by their emotions that they'll just go act that out. If they're angry, they'll act it out. If they're happy, they'll act it out. If they're so it causes us maybe to be too direct when it's not time to be direct. In other words, we might say something that hurts someone. You know, by golly, I'm going to tell him what I think of that. But, you know, we need to be led by the Spirit of God and not by our emotional response. And sometimes there can even be confusion. And people, there's sometimes people don't know the difference between the leading of the Spirit and the leading of their emotions. So, for example, a person might prophesy, the Bible calls it, out of their own soul, because they have emotional ties to an issue. And I'll give you an example. Someone that has emotional ties to a certain doctrine, or something that's going to happen in the end time, or a certain, let's say, conspiracy theory, true or not, doesn't matter. But if your ties emotionally are too strong, let's say to a political, and don't get me wrong, I vote, and I have strong feelings too about political things, but that is never allowed to rule me. And if I let that rule me, I will not hear God properly on that subject. Because what I've discovered is we think we're smarter than we really are. We're not that smart. I'm not that smart. And what seems to make good sense to me isn't always right. It isn't always what God is saying. So for me, it was a process of learning how to subject my emotions and my opinions and my doctrines and what I think, and always be subjecting it to, Holy Spirit, what do you think? I've seen people and organizations make enormous mistakes because they went with what seemed right or what felt good. A classic example is someone who, quote, falls in love. Well, that's a real tricky thing. And here, I'm just going to say this. I believe that our society has developed an entire framework of lies that came from Satan about what falling in love is, what it means, what it feels like, what it should feel like. Because I know from personal experience, when I was very young, I fell in love with someone that was absolutely not God's will for me. It was a disaster, and I was so smitten that my behavior went down the wrong road. And it was foolishness, and it actually caused problems for me, for them, for other people. It was just not right. It wasn't God. But I was so smitten, and see, we're raised to think certain ways about love and marriage and everything. You know, really, we're raised with this world framework. But you know, there's a scripture that says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, that conformed means like to be poured into the mold of. And so many people are poured into the mold of what this world has to offer. This world portrays all kinds of stuff about human relationships and marriage and, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but you know what I'm talking about people getting involved at certain times in their life. And the world presents this framework so that people are deluded to think it's supposed to be a certain way. And when God showed me His way, it was so starkly different than anything I'd ever read or seen in this world system. And when, just as an example, when God brought Edgar, I thought, this cannot be right. Edgar knew it was. And the truth is, it was. But I couldn't see it because I didn't feel anything. My emotions didn't respond to him. It didn't make sense because of age and a million other reasons. I did not want to be married again, thank you. There was a million reasons for it not to make sense, but it was an arranged marriage arranged by God. And I really, honestly, did not see the wisdom of that for some years. Over the years, we fell in love with each other. Edgar loved me, but it took me a while to love Edgar. But when, I'm going to tell you, Edgar was the best, next to Jesus, Edgar was the best thing that ever happened to me. I thank God that I did not listen to my emotions or my thought process, that I didn't have an idol of being single. That would have been my personal preference, thanks, but that was not God's will at that time for me. And what all I'm saying is your emotions, if we let our emotions rule, we will be led into situations that are not healthy. So I have a friend that says, if you want to stay out of a compromising position, stay out of the back seat. And that's a pretty blunt way of saying, you know, there's certain areas, there's certain places you just can't go as a believer if you want to stay pure, if you want to stay holy before God. You know, David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. He said, I will walk uprightly when I'm in my house. In other words, when nobody's looking, I want to walk uprightly. I want to walk in holiness. not at church where everyone sees me, but at home when God sees me and no one else sees me. Holiness is a flow from our heart towards God. You know, when you're sowing, when you're reaping, when you're, you know, worshiping, oh, it's a flow of holiness from your love for Him, right? So just again, I'm going to use giving our money as an example. We give out of obedience, but there comes a time when it becomes a form of worship where you give Him because you love Him. You want to do something that will make His day. You know, you want to do something that will really bless the Father. And so how do you know what that might be? For me, I sit with Him and I say, what could I do that would really knock your socks off? What gift could I give? Or what, is there something I could do? And then I make it a secret. It's a pact. It's a secret between Him and me. I don't tell anyone. I go secretly do the thing. And you know, I'm sure it blesses whoever the recipient is, but you know who it blesses the most is me. It gives me such joy. It's like nothing else. And so I want to say to you too that joy is not the same as a human emotion. Happiness might be more of a human emotion, but there's a joy that comes from the throne. And so what I learned as God was dealing with me about emotions was that they are a gift from Him. They're a good thing, but they are a tool that serves us, not something that should own us. And so back when my emotions owned me, I didn't know the difference, and I was, you know, very, very emotionally responsive to every little thing. And so I had good days and bad days as a believer. But, you know, I don't actually think that's scriptural. God has blessed us every day. Do sometimes things happen that I would have preferred didn't happen? Sure. Are there times when people have been mean? Oh, yeah, you know. But something I observe about Jesus in the scriptures is that He had plenty of bad days. I mean, He had days where people were trying to kill Him, calling Him terrible, said terrible, terrible things about Him, spoke evil of Him, and He knew they were planning to kill Him. And you know what I notice about Him? He was like this. Never was moved. He, you remember that one time they tried to make Him king, but it was in a wrong way? So He wouldn't let them do it because they were in their flesh trying to make Him the wrong kind of king, you know, and they had a wrong kind of flattery, and He wouldn't allow it. That didn't move Him. You know, the same day or the next day, they hated Him. That didn't move Him, right? So He's our model. And you know what Jesus was moved by? He was moved by His love for the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. So He had dedicated His life to pleasing the Father. And here's something that I like to do. I want to ask the Lord a lot of times. I ask Him at the end of a day. And by no means do I get every day perfect. In fact, I doubt if I've ever had a totally perfect day in my life. But I do like to talk to Him at the end of a day, at the end of every sermon that I speak, at the end of anything that I do, was that what you wanted? Was that pleasing? Or could I have done that better? Is there something I could do better? Not because I think He's going to spank me. My Father loves me, and I have a deep, abiding knowledge of His love. I know that He loves me, you know, even if I mess up. Yay, God. You know, thank God. But my love for Him constrains me that I want to please Him. I want to make His day better. You know, we tend to be so, we can be as Christians very selfish. I see a lot of, what about me? What about my deal? I came for my thing. Never mind how much it hurts you. What about me? And there's an awful lot of that in the body. But I don't think that was the intention of God. I think God wants to turn that inside out to cause us to become a people that really seek first the kingdom. What is pleasing to the Father? What will make His day? Again, Jesus said, there is a dove. Oh my gosh, excuse me. I'm looking out my front window. There are three doves, and one's literally staring at me as I'm delivering this message. Excuse me. It's just kind of funny. I'm like, are you listening to me preach? So pardon me for that. But anyway, we're designed to please the Lord. And I think what happens is we're so about me and my needs and, you know, what about my finances? What about where I'm going to live? That's why Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. You know, God knows what you need before you ask. He's going to take care of you. You know, tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about that. And, you know, one thing I like about walking with the Lord long term is that over time you grow into a place of knowing that He really means that. When it looks like, there have been many times when it just looked impossible for me. It looked like, you know, we're going down and this is it. You know, it's over for me. We're done. And you know what? God would always come in and do something to rescue me and rescue that situation. And when you see that enough times, you start to trust your Father. Your Father wants what truly is best for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Your emotions will lie to you. And if you even look at how your emotions respond, you'll see that they can be very fickle. They'll tell you one thing one day, another thing the next day, flip back the third day. And so if we live according to what our emotions are telling us, we're going to walk into situations we probably shouldn't even be in, right? Making friends with people that maybe aren't the best friends for us. That doesn't sound like a nice Christian thing to say, does it? But some of you are tied to people that are causing you harm. Some of you are tied to people, and God loves them too. And yes, God wants to help them, but not at your expense. There are times when God will actually tell you, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I know I'm saying it by the Spirit. There are times when God will actually tell you to break ties with somebody. You'll still love them. You'll still be kind to them and you'll still help them. But if you're too tied to someone emotionally, it's called a soul tie. And what the problem with that is, they are actually able to pull. It's like if I could draw a parallel, it's like a cord in the spirit that's hooked to your heart or your emotions. And someone that is not as deeply dedicated to God as you, someone that may be manipulative or controlling, we see this all the time. And so God may, I'm just talking to probably one person now, but I really feel like God is saying, seek Him about your relationships. I've seen people have a tie to an organization. I didn't know we were going here, but I feel like God wants me to go here. When I was young, my mom was part of an organization, and actually was probably a good one as far as that goes. It wasn't anything icky. It wasn't a cult or anything like that, but it was a group of women. And part of what they did was they took an oath when they joined that organization, and they said some vows and stuff. And my mom really, really wanted me to be part of it. And she really believed that someday I would really want to do that. And I kept telling her, you know, I don't think so. It's not my thing. I'm just not into that stuff. And I never will be. But for you, Mom. So to please my mom and to bless her, I did it. And I got to tell you, after taking that oath, I did not feel comfortable about it. Even though they were nice ladies, nice people, good people, and they were actually doing good works, I felt like I had covenanted by that oath with people who were both saved and unsaved. It was probably a mixed group of nice ladies. I just didn't have peace about it. So I lovingly told my mom, you know, I love you and I love them, but this isn't for me. And so I went before the Lord and I brought any oath I had made and I asked Him to forgive me and pour the blood of Jesus on any oath that I may have made. Because what had I done? I had formed a legal tie by that oath. We're bound by the words of our own mouth. And so even though it was not an evil group, I felt like God did not want me having that tie. There are people I'm talking to that you've had ties to people in the past. The relationship has broken, but the tie has remained. I'm going to give you an example. I had no idea we were going to talk about this, but I really feel like the Lord wants me to say this. I had a sweet young woman come before me up at a church, and we were doing altar call, and she was standing in my line. And when she came before me, I was asking the Lord what He had to say to her, and I saw a picture. And the picture was a picture of her, and about 6 feet behind her, there was a young man, and she kept looking over her shoulder at this man. Now, after some experience with the prophetic, I knew that that was something in her past, because he was 6 feet behind her. I knew it was someone she used to be in a relationship, because behind usually means past. And so I said, you know, honey, I said, I see this picture of someone that you used to be in a relationship with. You have broken the relationship because it's not of God, but there's still a tie, and it's causing you. He's actually got a controlling and manipulative spirit. He's pulling on you. It's causing you temptations, and you keep looking back at him like, should I go back to him? She said, that is exactly true. She said, we broke up some time ago. I haven't been able to stop thinking about him. I know it's not God. When you know it's not God and yet there's a draw, that is a problem, right? Because that means your emotions, there's a problem with your emotions. That means Satan's probably involved whispering things to you, trying to pull on you, right? Can bring temptation. But what makes it even worse is because there, I'll be honest, because there was a tie, it is probably a tie because they had been joined. Because when you, the Bible says when a man and a woman join, when a man joins himself to a harlot, they become one. Now what happens? Think about what happens when a person is joined outside of marriage. I'm going to get old fashioned on you, but the Bible calls it fornication. Adultery is when a married person cheats on their spouse. That's adultery. Fornication is when you have sex outside of marriage. Now, people misunderstand why the Bible says that don't do this. The reason the Bible says don't do it is because it hurts you. Because when that relationship breaks, now you've torn, you became one with that person. There was a tear, but wait, there may still be a soul tie. Now, oh wait, you joined somebody else. If you before Christ, if before Jesus, if you were tied to one and then another, sometimes there's a lot of leftovers. And it leaves you with some pretty negative behavior patterns. And so I had no idea we were talking about this tonight, but I really feel like someone's struggling and God is raising some things in your memory of, oh, I probably need to deal with that. You may have broken the relationship, and it doesn't have to be a relationship with the opposite sex. I've seen people become soul tied to a friend too closely, where the friend became put in a position where only God can be. Okay? When you're always going to a person for counsel, it's okay to do that sometimes. I do that sometimes. But if that person becomes sort of in the position that only God should have, now you've got a problem, because that's called idolatry. He will have no other gods before him. And idolatry brings a curse. It opens it, not from God, but it opens a door to the demonic realm. So we have to be careful to, you know, the Bible says to walk circumspectly because the days are evil. In other words, walk carefully, be more shrewd. It says we're supposed to be as shrewd as serpents. And I see people, you know, and as gentle as doves, yes. As gentle as doves, yes, but as shrewd as a serpent. That means we need to be watching a little more closely. If you have open doors in your life, you might want to talk to the Lord about, why does that keep happening? Whenever you see a pattern of events, there's a reason. And God is not mad at you, honey. God is not upset with you. He loves you. He's trying to help you break the pattern. Sometimes people will think I had a word of knowledge, and I do quite often, I'll be quite honest. But there are times when I know because I see the pattern. I know because I know how patterns work. If something is a continual pattern, let's say you get into one relationship and a certain thing happens, you get into the next relationship, the same thing happens, you get into the next relationship, the same thing happens, the issue is probably not them. Somewhere there's an issue. We don't know what, but it's a signal. I need to look at this. You may have heard me talk about this story, but someone very dear to me had Bennett. She's just brilliant. I mean, almost a genius. And she would go to a job and just knock it out of the park. Just an amazing, brilliant person. But she would always have problems with her boss, to the point of almost being fired. Well, the story kept coming back, how her boss was so bad, her boss was so bad, her boss was so bad. And after about five different bosses, she said something to me like, women are the worst bosses. I have all these. And I said, well, that's kind of weird. I said, my boss is a woman. She's awesome. And my last boss was a woman. She was awesome. I mean, really, really like wonderful. She said, are you saying it's me? And I said, well, I said, I'm saying I would ask God what's going on there. What is that about? Why does that keep happening? I'm not saying it's you, but it's worth looking at. And this dear saint, most people just might leave in a huff and say, I don't need your opinion. Well, hallelujah. But she actually took it to the Lord. And this is what the Lord said to her. She had placed a judgment against her mom about certain issues. And her mom had probably had some issues, and they may have been real ones, but it's not our business to judge, okay? She had placed a judgment, which opens a door to the enemy, right? And she said, when God told her this, she realized every one of these lady bosses was her mom, was exactly like her mom, and did things like her mom did because she had placed a judgment. And so she opened the door to that. She got the thing broken. So sometimes there are reasons why things keep happening. Why does this keep happening to me? Ask the Lord, because usually there's a reason, and it's not God, and it's not that he's mad. It's that somewhere something's a little out of sync. I'll say it that way. Does not mean you're in sin, necessarily. You could be. But it may just be there's something a little out of sync that God wants to fix, right? And there's all kinds of things like that. And so God wants to raise up a people who are motivated by the kingdom of God, motivated by their love of God, because we're to grow up in all things into him. And, you know, I know that a lot of people tend to look at things in the earth realm, because that's, what else would we do? What else do we know? We were trained right and wrong by earthly parents who may not have fully known the Lord, right? Or maybe they knew him, but maybe they didn't know everything. And so we've been raised on a certain set of standards and behaviors and limits that may or may not be what God is saying. And so that's why God wants us to be completely transformed by the renewing of our mind, to even understand who we are and what we're called to do. Because with God, honestly, there are no limits. God has not placed any limit on you. But those limits come from our self assessments, right? We judge ourselves, we limit ourselves, we say, I can't, I don't think I can. God's trying to help you see who you really are in this earth. God would like it. He's provided an open heaven. I don't know if you know this. God made a way through Jesus Christ for an open heaven in the New Testament. It was not always the case, but in the New Testament, there is an open heaven. And so we don't pray for an open heaven. We thank him that there is one, and we ask him to teach us how to walk in it, because it's there for everyone. Jesus died so that that veil could be torn from top to bottom. There's no more door, no more veil, no more hiddenness. But he's actually died to pave the way and open the way that anyone, this is astounding to me, not just any saved person, but it says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the worst of the worst. He died for those that would even say, no, I don't want you, Jesus. I want nothing to do with you. He died so that they would have the privilege that if they wanted, they could say, save me, Jesus, forgive me, and I'm coming into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to fellowship with God. I'm going to get the blueprint plan for my life, and by the grace of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is I'm going to accomplish it for God. I'm not coming home without having done the will of God. Anybody, I'm telling you that this is what's available for us. And we've lived at such a low level of the Spirit. You know, we've lived trying to do Christianity out of our flesh, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We've tried to figure it out and do what we feel emotionally. And, you know, I'll give you an example. He just reminded me of an example. Sometimes we can do good works out of our emotions, feeling like this is a good work and this, I feel good because I'm doing this good work. And then God says, I don't want you doing that. What do you mean you don't want me doing it? He's done it to me. There are some things I was doing that, and they were really good, good works. By golly, you know, give me a blue ribbon. I was doing a good work. And God said, that's great, but that's not what I want you doing. That's good, but this over here is better. And what he was really doing was freeing me up from a good thing to do a better thing. But if you would have asked my emotions were wrong, right? So being led by the Spirit is not the same thing as being led by your emotions, you know? So he wants to teach us the difference. He wants to help us grow in him. And first of all, grow to where we put our emotions on the altar. I mean, of course, I'm like everybody else. I like it when things go well. I'm very blessed. God has been so good to me, and it makes me happy. But there are times when things are hard, but I'm not going to allow my emotions to drag me down. I'm going to trust God that he's going to help me through that. He's going to either fix it or turn it around or show me how to walk through it unscathed. You know, I remember being in the most difficult time of my life where I really despaired of life. I really despaired of life. And I had a vision, and I was in church when I had it. We were in worship. And this vision was of a room about, I'm guessing, 20, 22 feet long. And on either side, there were fires, just fires, huge, blazing fires that were probably 10, 11 feet high. I don't know, very high, way, way taller than me. It was terrifying. I was on this little path that went through the middle, and there was fires on either side of me, but I saw this little path that went through the room. Now, when you're in a trial, what do you think? Get me out of this. Jesus, fix it. Do a miracle. Make this, put these fires out. Fix this. Help. Translate me out of here. Man, we want to fix, don't we? Because our emotions are screaming because we're scared or we're whatever. But in this vision, this is what I saw. At the other end of the path, I saw Jesus standing there. And what I saw was his eyes. Now, I wasn't seeing him in manifestation, okay? He wasn't like walking in my church in his body. It was a picture or a vision that he was showing me to teach me something. God often teaches me that way. And so I saw his eyes, and his eyes were just staring at me. And he was just saying to me, just keep your eyes on me. Don't look right. Don't look left. Don't focus on the fire because it'll scare you. And just keep your eyes on me. You keep walking. See, now I wanted him to just go boom and fix it. You know, he's all powerful. Fix it. But he never did. It took me a couple years to walk through that fire. But you know, I walked through it by keeping my eyes on him. And if my eyes got a little off and the fire started to scare me, I'd go, nope. Nope, Jesus is going to help me. I'm walking through this. And he not only got me through it, but just like the Hebrew children that were thrown in the fire, when I came out of that, I didn't even smell like smoke. I came out a much better person, much stronger, had a whole lot more wisdom, wasn't so easily moved by every wind, everybody's opinion, everything that happened. It's a terrible life. Being ruled by your emotions. At one time I was so ruled by my emotions. And it's a terrible life. It's a very unfulfilling life because, you know, it's like, whoosh, bam, whoosh, bam. Because emotions, you know, they can't be trusted. And as God began to teach me how to manage my emotions and steward them. And again, I want to say it again. They're not evil things. Emotions are a gift from God. So if you think about it this way, when you have certain emotions, let's say you truly desire to serve God and you desire for someone to be saved, for example, that emotion, that passion might drive you to pray them into the kingdom. You might say, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm not going to give it up, right? That came from a passion and a drive. That's a good thing, right? But also another type of emotion can drive, you know, one of my pastor friends was telling me about a man that literally was so bound by pornography, he literally got up out of bed in the middle of the night and went out to drive to a place because he was so bound by that stronghold, That's a terrible thing. And so your emotions are involved with that. It's not just physiological. There are emotions involved. And the more you feed them, you know, emotions are like plants. The more you feed them, the bigger they get. If you feed anger, it grows. If you feed rage, it grows. If you feed kindness, it grows. If you feed joy, it grows. And if you focus on fire, that fire gets hot and you'll lose your balance and fall in it and get burnt. If you don't focus on the fire, listen, God is good. He already has a plan for your deliverance. If you're in a circumstance that's scary, maybe you're in a situation and you're feeling like, oh, you know, and you're on a balance beam and you got to keep your balance. I'm talking to somebody right now by the Spirit. That you feel like you're just on a tightrope and, you know, the wrong move this way or that way. And you feel like, oh, you know what? God is bigger than that. Thank God. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. You know, I don't do any of that. I'm not able to do any of this because I'm able. I'm not able to do any of this stuff. But what I learned is even when I'm on a tightrope and it looks impossible and maybe it's scary and I feel like I can't make it, I know my Father. His grace is sufficient for me. He's going to catch me if I fall. He's going to put me where I need to be. He's going to help me because my trust is in Him. It's not in me. It's not in my abilities. It's not in my mind or my thinking or my emotions. I trust my Father. And if you don't trust your Father, life will be hard for you as a Christian because you'll always be, you know, holding back. He'll tell you something, well, I'm not so sure. You know, have you ever argued with God? Because really, it's a trust issue, talking to somebody. God loves you. And I promise you this. Here's something I know about God. When God does something and you feel like, well, that wasn't the best thing for me, what God does with us is always for in our best interest and in the best interest of the kingdom. And so He does something and it feels like that wasn't good. He is working towards something better. Okay? He is working for all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. But we have to keep our focus on Jesus. We have to keep our gaze, keep our eyes locked with His. In other words, just stay tuned to Him, not how you feel about it, not what the circumstances say about it, not how big that fire looks or how hot it might feel, right? Circumstances can be scary in this world. But you know what's really happening is God is teaching you how to trust Him. And when you'll go through one situation, another, eventually it gets to where you just know God will catch you. You know God will fix it. Here's good news. Even if I screw it up, even if I made a mistake, even if I should have done this. I thought I heard that. Maybe I went the wrong way. I'm so sorry, God. You know, God isn't moved by that. He knows who we are. He knows we're human. He knows it's a fallen world. He knows that there's all kinds of layers of stuff between Him and us, the enemy, right? There's all kinds of people and voices. Things happen. We don't always get it right. It's called you're a human. You know what? God doesn't fall off the throne. He will still help you if you respond to love, you know, in love to Him. Don't get mad at Him. Don't blame God. But just believe Him. You know what? Oops, I screwed up. Oops, this didn't go right. Oops, this looks like a really bad situation. But you know what? You have said you're going to take care of me. I don't know how you're going to take care of me. I'm not even going to try to figure that out. But I trust you, my Father. You're going to take care of me. And I've seen miracles come out of that because God is truly good and you can trust Him. I feel like He's asking one or two people that I'm talking to, I feel like He's asking you and saying, will you give up that hesitancy to trust me? Will you give up distrust? Will you learn to trust, or at least will you ask me to help you learn to trust? Because I have something so much better for you than you've seen. I have so much that I haven't been able to reveal to you because of how you're walking or the way you're walking, where you're walking. But there's so many things I want to reveal to you that are heavenly, that are good, that are blessings. I tell you, Heaven is limitless. Heaven on earth is limitless. What you can accomplish in God is limitless. But we limit it sometimes because of these things. And I'm seeing someone, you're walking so much, it's almost like you're walking in a funk. Like you're so absorbed with the things of this world and what's happening and what do I do and how's this going to turn out and what about this? And you've let it become such a thing that you're actually walking in like a cloud of confusion. It looks like an actual barrier around you. And then you're saying, why don't I hear God? Why don't I hear God? Why don't I hear? And it's like he's trying to talk to you, but it's bouncing off of this almost like angst or confusion. And it's because your focus has not been on what does God really want? It's been on what is the world saying? What is the world doing? What's in the news? What about this and what about that? You know, sometimes we need to turn all of that off. You know what I do sometimes? Sometimes I turn my phone off and I put it in a back room and I don't even. So if some of you text me and you think, why does she take so long to respond? That's why. Because if you let it, your phone will own you. It will take charge of your attention to where God's in the middle of a sentence and you're like, oh, Google's got a new news item. Oh, I got a text. It might be important. It never is. But what God's saying is eternal. And we do it. We do it. We have an attention deficit disorder in some ways in because of our phones. I don't mean that to be disrespectful to those who have had problems with that. So please forgive me if I said it wrong. But I'm just saying we have, our phone has pulled us by its constant bling, 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 bling. People, you know, people come to conferences and they miss the entire conference because they're so busy paying attention to what, you know, what's on their phone. And I'm just going to say to you, when you're with God, put that thing in another room. You know, put it away. Turn it off. You know, no one's going to, I hate to say this, you know, it's very likely that no one will die in those 3 hours or 4 hours that you put it away, you know? And if you have something, you're on call or you have, you know, a baby that needs to be, I get that. But in most cases, that's not true. So God loves you. I just felt like he wanted me to say that he doesn't want to play second fiddle to your phone. Okay, I love you. may not sound like it, but I really do. God loves you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.